Welcome back to the show, 23 past 7 on your Thursday morning. Duncan McKenzie McCarg, our US sports correspondent, has jumped in before he jumps back on a plane to the US, which I am very jealous about. Super Bowl week coming up. We'll talk about that now. Duncan, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Bryce, amazing.
When do you head back? Have you got an early flight or a late flight?
I have got one of the earlier international flights you can get. I think I'm on a 6:30 a.m. flight on Monday morning. I finish up at the tennis at 10 p.m. or 10:30. If it's a five-set match, I could be finished at 12-1. I might just go straight through,
straight
I think.
There. Yeah.
You'd be happy with the fifth set tiebreaker this year because at least it guarantees you're not going to be there till 3 a.m.
One person who wasn't happy about the fifth set tiebreak was Pablo Carreño Busta, who had one of the greatest post-match meltdowns I think we've ever seen, who apparently is one of the nicest guys on the tennis tour, but with that terrible overall or whatever that happened, and he lost the final 5 points of that tiebreak and throwing his bag across the court and yelling at the umpire. Yeah, he wasn't too happy about it.
The best was when he threw the bag across the court and then picked it up and you thought he would just waltz off here, but he continued to give him the serve.
Yeah, turned back around and gave him another crack.
walking backwards and continuing the serve.
Have you ever seen anything in what's the biggest
cricket that happens all the time?
Yeah, I was going to say
the batsman gets a mouthful and then he turns around and that's that done, and then no, they go again at him and he turns around. And that happens week in, week out.
What's the most heated you've ever seen on the cricket pitch? Has it been local level more than state level?
Yeah, look, it probably has. Yeah, let's be honest. The local ones get a bit overheated. And they're playing for Sheep Station. So, yeah, I think because of the consequences of doing it at first class level, you try and avoid it at all costs. But yes. I've seen some players really lose their stuff. Yeah. I find it entertaining. As a level-headed guy, I find that really entertaining.
Yeah, I'll say.
And a little bit bizarre. I go, well, just calm down. And I can't calm down.
What about teeing off in the rooms? That happens still a fair bit at local level, I would assume.
Yeah, it happens a fair bit at the high level as well. Liam, my son, got a good bat a few years ago, one that when I was playing with the Adelaide Strikers, an opening bat happened to wrap around a wall in the MCG change room. So Liam had it busted in half and he glued it together, and he used that for a lot of his junior career. Early on, he was belting runs everywhere. He had this massive big bat that was cut down to size, glued together. But he was making 50s for fun.
Jeez, with good glue.
Yeah, wow. Well, it's a player's bat, in the hands of a 12-year-old. They just tap it and the ball goes, boom, and everyone's, what's going on here? Like this, they're not using a plank of wood, they're using a good blade. Anyway.
I might need to borrow that bat next time I go out and play club cricket, I think.
Do you get to play club cricket when you're back for 2 weeks? Make a special appearance?
I might do a cameo. Doesn't Whitey have some sort of incredible...
Yeah, the media team.
The media team game?
Yes.
MCG? Yep.
Yeah, so he does a number of these throughout the season. So, he'd be listening in right now after doing an early water of his lawn. He watered last night. He would be watering this morning as well. He'd be listening in. He'll put you down and he'll contact you, I reckon, before you walk out the door.
All okay. I could say is the communication between the selectors and the players is a lot more open than what it is at the Australian national team.
So. For sure.
It's on the radio. Twitter. It's nationally on the radio. What are you talking about?
Real direct feedback too. So, another nomination there for the Media 11. Let's talk NFL. The Rams over the Saints, which was an insane game, and then I thought it couldn't be topped. The Pats over the Chiefs was unbelievable. Let's start with the Rams first of all.
Yeah,
26-23, field goal to win it. New Orleans would be pretty flat after the season that they've had.
So flat. Two of the greatest conference championship games I think we've ever seen in NFL history. It was amazing stuff. You couldn't even write the script, guys. And they'd be very flat, especially they got themselves into a winning position. They had the ball in overtime. Drew Brees had it and then throws that pick. And then the Rams get it. And Zerline's 57-yard field goal, one of the most remarkable clutch performances you're ever likely to see. I mean, he hit that so flush, it was going straight through the whole way. And you can see the reaction of the Rams players on the sidelines. You can see the reaction of Sean McVay and what it means to him. I mean, as we've spoken about, and we spoke about last week, I mean, this was the form team for half of the season.
Yeah.
And they were coming up against the Saints, who effectively took over that mantle. And it could have gone either way. And, I might talk about it in a minute, but this whole idea of the sudden death play and the first team to score, I mean, if you've got the ball in your hands, you certainly have got two of the greatest quarterbacks in the league, Drew Brees or Jared Goff. And Goff was clutch as well. So, I mean, the Saints will be bitterly, bitterly disappointed by that, especially losing on that home turf at the Superdome. So we'll have to wait and see whether they regroup.
And the Patriots continue their ridiculous run as a franchise over the last 20 years. Tom Brady through to another Super Bowl, beating the Chiefs 37-31. Mm. Overtime as well. We'll talk about the coin toss.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, how does that all play out? For those who don't know, explain what happens in overtime in the NFL.
Yeah, so there's a coin toss, and whoever wins the coin toss gets possession. And if you have possession of the ball, it's the first team to score. So it's sudden death. It could be a field goal. It could be a touchdown. It's crazy. So it's a lot comes down to a coin toss.
Yeah.
I
find it really uncomfortable.
I don't think it's fair. I think there needs to be a right of reply. I mean, imagine if you had Patrick Mahomes with the ball in his hand after Brady scored that touchdown. So then suddenly you've got the MVP favorite has the ball in his hand, and then suddenly the pressure's on Patrick to try and deliver. So, yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, there's been a fair bit of talk about it in the US as to whether they're going to keep it or not. I think they probably should change it or at least give the other team the right of
possession.
Reply.
Yeah.
So, Mahomes, Brady, and Brady, ridiculous is the absolute perfect adjective to nail that. It has been ridiculous. This is a dynasty that's been going on for 17 years.
Yeah, in a competition where there's 32 franchises, it's an unbelievable performance. Now, he's got a chance for his sixth ring.
Mm-hmm.
Explain what that means in the context of NFL football, because a lot of them are lucky enough just to get one,
yeah.
And he's going for six.
He's going for six. Brady and Belichick are about to play in their ninth Super Bowl. Their ninth.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is, you know, a 66-year-old coach and a 41-year-old quarterback. I mean, it's crazy when you think about those numbers anyway. And they're coming up against a 33-year-old coach and a 24-year-old quarterback who are going to be playing in their first Super Bowl. So you think about all the experience and what Brady and Belichick have learned over those 18 years up against these two. It'll be the youngest coach-quarterback combination to win in the Super Bowl era. So it's got to have a massive, massive impact here. And, I mean, the fact is Brady and Belichick are probably known as arguably, or probably not arguably anymore, the greatest coach quarterback in history. And now they're just cementing their legacy even more. So, yeah, I think the Patriots have to go in as favourites now, just purely based on their experience. It's the old guard versus the new guard. And if Goff and McVay can pull this off, well, this is going to be an extraordinary story.
When you jump on the plane and you land, what are you going to be landing in terms of Super Bowl week? Tell us about it over in the US.
My goodness. So I'm landing at about 5:30 local time, PM, and I go straight into NFL opening night. So I know we spoke a bit about it last week, but for our listeners who missed that chat, it's basically the media day, but it's held in a basketball stadium. So it's held in the Hawks basketball stadium, and there's going to be over 8,000 people there, fans, media, both teams, all sorts of shenanigans happening. And basically they put up every single player. They put them, everyone has a podium, and everyone's allowed an hour worth of questions, and you can ask anything. You can absolutely ask anything, and they don't have to answer it, but generally they answer every single question.
So you can go up to Tom Brady next week for us on RSN 927 and ask a question on behalf of us.
I can, yeah. Good luck.
Bryce, you're going to have to think come up with one for next week.
Mm. Yeah. I'm sure that our listeners will pump a few things through on the SMS.
Yeah, let us know. 0416 90 50 52 if you've got a question for Tom Brady that we'll try and sneak in next week.
There is a moderator for the big one, so I'm sure Brady, Belichick, you know, Goff, McVay, we'll all have moderators. And I reckon in the pecking order, I might be about 7,000. So we'll see if Brady has time to get to me.
Just use the accent. That'll get you through. That jumps you straight up to the top 10, I reckon.
Yeah. G'day, mate. Accent. How are you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got a question.
In terms of the media coverage, you spoke about 8,000 people going to the media day, which just seems ridiculous.
Mm.
How many people will flood into Atlanta over the next 4, 5, 6 days?
Wow. Well, hundreds of thousands.
Yeah.
Yeah, at least. I mean, because you've got all the corporates flying in, you've got all the people that go to the parties, you've got all the people that go to the activations at the corporates, because every a lot of the corporates in America, they want to get a slice of the pie. Whether if they can't get a slice of the pie at the game, they want to get a slice of the pie around the NFL experience, the Super Bowl experience. So you'll have DirecTV there, you'll have Maxim there, you'll have Sports Illustrated there. All these guys will throw huge, elaborate parties just to basically to get their branding out there. And then they'll fly in celebrities to come in and try and get the parties and the brand some exposure. So you've got, you know, Snoop Dogg flying in, you've got Bruno Mars, you've got Cardi B, you've got Maroon 5 will fly in early. They're the halftime entertainment at the Pepsi show. Yep. You've got Aerosmith going in there, Post Malone. It is phenomenal. It's a who's who in the zoo. Very much a zoo in America, and everyone tries to cash in on it.
Talking about Snoop Dogg, now he's been commentating a little bit, and he's been commentating some ice hockey. It is the most hilarious stuff you've ever heard. Would you recommend that for our listeners to have a tune into?
I haven't heard it, but I'd love to hear it if we can get that up in...
He should be commentating everything. He's just hilarious. So go and Google or get on your YouTube or whatever and track it down. Mm-hmm. He's absolutely hilarious.
Does he have a very relaxed style of commentary?
Oh, yeah. He's very, very laid back.
He does GPS as well, from what I'm told, as well. So if you're in the car, he can give you directions.
Oh, that is cool.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll have to get that on the new car that I got.
He's one funny guy. One of the things that stood out in the Patriots game was talking about commentators. Tony Romo was pulling some predictions about what plays they're going to pull next. Now, it probably has to do with, obviously, his great experience and all those type of things and truly understanding what the Patriots are doing. Mm-hmm. But that was remarkable. That was remarkable.
Yeah, that was probably the most impressive thing, I think, from the whole weekend. I mean, Tony Romo, effectively new to the special comments game, going into the commentary and effectively predicting what Tom Brady was going to do and the plays that he was executing. So just before the snap, Tony Romo saying, okay, I think Brady's going to go here. He's going to throw to Gronk here. Gronk's going to go out wide, or Sony Michel's going to run the ball, or Edelman's going to run through the middle. And he picked it pretty much every single time. I mean, this is a guy who's one of the great quarterbacks, you know, from the Dallas Cowboys, but he must be so in tune with Brady and his game, or they must think so much alike. So I know there's a compile, I think, on social media, whether it's Twitter or Facebook, and someone's clipped up all of Romo's predictions and put them all in one compile. I think it goes for about 3.5 minutes.
Yeah.
And it is one of the most phenomenal things you'll see of the year. It's probably the most impressive performance, I think, of 2019 so far, Tony Romo. And he was already being lauded by everyone around the US broadcasting system by the fact that he's so good. He's so insightful. He's not one of these special comments guys that, you know, stares down the barrel of the camera, smiles, has a wink and says, you know, I'm in the chair. He is the guy who gives you all the detail and gives you all the information as to how plays are going to be run. And, he's just been amazing.
Yeah, I can't wait for next week. It's going to be sensational. All the best. Have the best week.
Thank you.
We'll catch up a couple of times when you're back over in the States for Super Bowl week. It is going to be a massive week. Next week in the...